The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
When I found out I was going to be a parent, I immediately felt a lot of anxiety and worry. So I went on to BetterHelp to try to look for a therapist to help me with that.
My relationship with my family and with my boyfriend and with myself were suffering. I really needed help.
I was ruminating a lot. Really getting those thoughts out to a therapist and getting feedback was just life-changing.
If you're thinking of giving therapy a try, learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
TVISA with Ashley Ray. Another episode, of TVISA with Ashley Ray. Another episode, of TVISA with Ashley.
Welcome to TVISA with Ashley Ray, your go-to podcast for discovering what to watch on TV and getting behind-the-scenes insight from the people who make the shows you love. Last Wednesday, Emmy nominations officially came out, and we're here to help you understand what's going down. We're going to break down everything, like, you know, the TV Academy, they got some things right. They got maybe a few things wrong. So I had to bring in my friend, who is one of the funniest stand-up comedians I know. He's also a writer on the FX comedy series Dave. He's also appeared recently in Netflix's I Think You Should Leave with Tim Robinson. Niles Abstin, welcome to TV Club.
What's up? Damn, you named all those credits. And I was like, and I'm still broke. That's crazy.
Right? That's how it goes when you are a TV writer and you choose this industry. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, yes, we are still on strike also. And recently, an article came out in Deadline where they said they want us to be on strike until we lose our apartments and we starve and every TV writer is broke.
Well, joke's on them. That was already happening to me before the strike started.
Right. So. They were like, we want them to struggle. And it's like, we were already struggling.
Already doing that, buddy.
I just think it's so wild to have that come out the day before Emmy nominations, when it's like you're about to celebrate all these writers, you're about to celebrate everything they wrote that you could create that like couldn't have been made without writers. Nope. And the night before they're like, well, at least actors are reasonable, unlike those writers.
Right. And their punishment is be homeless because you want to be treated right.
Because you want to be treated right. Meanwhile, the actors might go on strike. We'll know at midnight. I really hope they do.
Right.
But AMPTP, AMT.
No one even knows. Who even cares? That shows you how important they are.
Right.
No one even knows what to call
American
them.
American AMPTP. They brought in federal mediators to be like, get the actors to not go on strike.
Right.
Please convince them.
They literally called the feds.
Yeah, they literally were like, no, Biden, you can't like make them do our shows. Like, right. What are we going to do if Kaley Cuoco isn't in a million Peacock shows? Like, you have got to get her in line.
Figure it out.
And I really hope that we get a strike. Actors, please.
Please.
I need the actors on strike. Like, if you think the writers are annoying on strike, oh, wait until you get a bunch of sanctimonious actors out
theater
there.
Kids. Oh,
theater
my God.
Kids with bullhorns.
Oof.
We're winning this thing in like a week. Like, we're shutting this down so quickly.
I need it.
So before we dive into nominations, I want to know, you know, do you usually watch the Emmys? Are you like a big Emmy person?
I have a rule. I don't watch award shows until I get invited to them.
Oh, wow.
And I've never been invited to an award show, so.
And no offense, but you were not invited this
I was
year.
Not invited to this one. You were listening to a snub right now.
I would say that Dave was snubbed.
We got snubbed.
I do believe Dave was snubbed. I thought it was going to get at least a writing nom.
Me too.
And obviously, you in your finale, you had Brad Pitt.
Yeah, and I thought that would at least give Brad
I thought
the
for
guest.
Sure. And it was clearly one of those like guest starring roles where it's like, we're doing this to get him.
To get him in there,
an
yeah.
Emmy. Like, this is to get Brad
that
Pitt his Emmy.
Play.
Like, let's do it. That's the play. And the Academy didn't bite.
They didn't bite. I thought it was a wonderful episode. Brad did his thing.
It was really good.
You know?
It was so funny.
Yeah.
I loved it. And I think that this new season of Dave kind of suffered from, like, the momentum it got during COVID.
Yeah.
And then it just, like, the promotion wasn't as loud this season. It was everywhere. And then it was just kind of like, FX was like, oh, well, it's established. Like, people get it. And it was like, no, you got to remind people of shows.
Yeah, I didn't really feel like it got pushed as much. And, like, we all agree, like, this is the best season. So,
yeah.
It just kind of sucks that it didn't get. Because, like, you got that coupled with the strike and everything. It's kind of, it's really hard to promote something right now with all of this going on in the industry. So, it just kind of, like, came out at a bad time. Like,
it just, it also seems like FX a little bit was like, we have our new favorite baby.
Yeah.
And we don't care about Atlanta anymore.
No,
we don't
care about the bear is their favorite child.
The
now.
Bear is the new favorite baby. And they were just like, it's like, unless you have a new bear spinoff, like, they don't care. No. It's the show that they pushed. And it succeeded because it got like the most Emmy nominations, which so I'm a big Emmy person.
Yeah.
I, since I was a kid, have been obsessed with the Emmys. Like, I'm a TV person. Mm-hmm. This is our big night. This is our Super Bowl.
Right.
You know, so I think, like, every time this happens where people are like, how is that a comedy?
Yeah.
Since as far back as I can remember, mm-hmm. there have been comedy nominations where people are like, how did that? Why?
Right.
And so you have to understand there's all these like weird rules that the Academy has. So genre is not defined by genre.
No.
So like it's defined by how long the show is.
Right.
It doesn't matter if it's the saddest show in the world.
If it's 30 minutes.
If it's 30 minutes, it's going in the comedy category. And if it's an hour, it's going in the drama series.
Right.
Which, you know, there aren't many hour-long comedies, but technically I was like, then shouldn't Ted Lasso be in that category?
Yeah, because they had a few hour episodes this season, right?
Oh, they extended every episode this season to an hour plus.
Wow.
So I was like, how come Ted Lasso isn't in the drama category? If that's how it goes.
Did they do a thing where, like, well, it started off here, so we don't change it up?
That's what I was wondering. If it's, like, if it was previously in this category, does that have something to do with it? And then I wondered if it had to do maybe with, like, the episodes for consideration.
Okay.
Because, like, The Bear was nominated for season one, even though season two just came out.
Right.
And so I think maybe Ted Lasso was nominated for the previous season, and we're going to see another season of Ted Lasso noms for this last season.
Oh, wow.
Like, I think that's how they break it up.
Interesting.
So that's kind of annoying because we're going to see another season of undeserved Ted Lasso nominations.
Yeah.
Is what I would say.
I'm one of those people that I watched season one because I didn't have anywhere to go.
Yeah, same.
And then once I could leave my house, I never watched that show again.
That's what most people say.
Like, I have not watched that show since I could leave the house.
And, like, I love it. I truly, like, I loved the first season. Second season, I was like, okay, I'm still with it. Third season, I was just like, they don't even know what this show is.
They don't even know what they're doing anymore.
But it's one of those shows that because it came out of the gate so strong and got so many nominations, it's just always going to get nominations.
Probably,
like Modern Family.
Right.
Like, it's just like, we just have to consider it baked in.
Yeah.
Which I also feel is what we're going to see happen with Abbott Elementary.
I was about to say that. Yeah. I think Abbott Elementary will get a nominee for the rest of its
run. For the rest of its run.
Which,
it's,
you know, they kind of
they deserve it. It's about time a black show has that.
That's
so.
What I'm saying. Yeah. So, and that's why I'm hyping. Like, we haven't really seen a mockumentary get that, like, recognition in a while either.
Yeah. Yeah, same. So I don't care if it's season 10 and Abbott Elementary like writing the worst episodes you've ever seen.
Right.
I don't care.
I don't care.
It's grandfathered in. Okay. Y'all got to do it with so many of your shows.
Right.
Okay. Do you know how many Modern Family nominations we had to sit through?
Too many. And then the cool thing with Abbott is just like how funny they are in that kind of like rigid format that's kind of dead in a
way.
Yeah. It's hard to be funny.
It's so funny.
So. I think for the degree of difficulty, you got to give it to Abbott Elementary.
You do. And that's why I'm happy with all of the nominations they got, which is a few.
Should have got more, in my opinion.
So they did get Best Actress in a Comedy with Quinta getting her nomination, which I think is so deserved. And
yes.
I honestly think she should win, given who else is in the category.
I think so, too.
I mean, you have Christina Applegate, Dead to Me, which...
Dead to Me fan, but I didn't see... I honestly was surprised when I saw that
me
come
too.
Up, because I haven't finished the new season yet.
It's like...
I started, like, the first two, and then I did it, but, like...
Yeah.
I know they had some trouble, because, you know, she's ill.
Yeah.
So that was kind of hard to
shoot
that season.
And
so.
It was the final season. And a big part of it is like her character also dealing with like some illness.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's one of those like you know, honoree nominations where it's like, oh, that was, she worked really hard. Right. And the show ended. Marvelous Miss Maisel, same thing.
Never seen it.
Neither have I.
From what I've heard, it's a good show about a comedian, but it's not like a comedy, though.
Yes. It's like a, I don't know, it's like a drama, I think, where she, like, all my friends are like, you should watch it because you're a female comic and you'll relate. And I'm like, I don't think I will.
Is that show a half hour?
It's, you know what? It must be because it's in the half hour nom.
Okay.
But that's the thing,
it
you watch
is
it.
An hour.
It's an hour? So, what are these going rules? On? What are these rules? Why is Marvelous Miss Maisel and when Ted Lasso, if they are hours, why are they in
the... I'm a little upset.
Now I'm upset.
I'm not even going to lie, I'm a little upset.
Because, like, cause put like, it in the drama.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a ha-ha funny show, it just is about a funny person.
And as a person that wrote a ha-ha funny show...
An actual ha-ha funny show with
jokes.
It's
just kind of upsetting.
Like, the okay. And I know that's nominations because it's the last season of Marvelous Miss
Maisel. Oh, so it's the last one?
So again, that one is, there were a lot, of, I think a lot of these nominations are, we know the show is ending.
Dang, so we got to get a Dave season four.
Yeah, you got to get a season
four. To outlast some of these shows so we can maybe get one.
But even then, we all know it was the last season of Atlanta.
Right.
Basically snubbed.
They didn't get anything. And
they,
I thought
they
season...
got they did they got a best cinematographer
okay, that's what I was about to say.
For the episode when Paperboy goes back home to the South.
Oh, okay.
So they got best cinematography.
I thought season four was like everything the show was supposed to
be. It's supposed to be.
And I thought the finale was like perfect because it was like subtle but hilarious at the same time.
Yes.
But I feel like some of these shows, people just stop watching them.
Yeah.
And I feel like season three made a lot of people just give up on
it. Give up on it.
And it was 4 years in between.
Yeah, they had this long hiatus. So, people forgot. Season three. People
four
should have
been
like,
season three.
That's what I said.
And three should have
been season four. It didn't help when Donald Glover, when they came back from hiatus, was like, season three of Atlanta is so good. It is better
than The Sopranos.
Than The Sopranos.
Come on. And I've only seen four episodes of The Sopranos.
Same. I've only seen the first, like, three.
But I just know how dear people hold that show.
Yeah. And so, as soon as he said that, I was like, sir, those little white Academy people are not trying to hear that.
So, and it's, but the thing is, if you say that, you got to back that shit up, you know? And
yes.
I thought season three was, like, really cool, but I definitely think, like, if you're not, like, a huge fan of, like, what he does artistically,
yeah,
it probably came off as, like, what are they doing?
What are they doing?
What are all these short films and stuff like
yeah.
that? So,
yeah. And it was a great chance for the writers to get to, you know, share their own perspectives in their own episodes, but yeah. I think it alienated the Academy, and so
I saw a few people talk about how they really wish the Goofy documentary episode would have got a writing nominee. I thought that one would have got a writing nominee,
but instead, and also, I mean, we know how this works with the Academy. They can only nominate so many black people.
Right. Like, there's only so many black spots.
It usually goes one black show in each, like, genre. And then
another one if it's just, like, really good.
If it's really, really
good. But it has to be really good. And I think with Beef getting a lot of nominees now, that was like the other like
that
minority
was, yeah,
spot.
Truly Beef, I think
I
took
really
a lot of the minority. Yeah, and I think it definitely took some of the nominations away from Swarm.
Yeah.
Swarm did get
or
it got a writing nom, and it also got lead actress for Dominique, which is great.
Her.
I love her, but it did not it didn't get series, and I think we see a lot of diversity this year. Particularly in Best Supporting Actress in a Comedy
Series. Best Supporting Actress is like always like a black.
It is.
Over like the last 15 years, Best Supporting Actress has always been like a black competition with like one white lady in there.
And again, this year we have four black women who have taken
How
over
y'all
this
wedge
category.
Them all into one.
In one category. And it's like, you got Alex Borstein, who I've loved her since Mad TV.
I love Alex, yeah.
But, you know, I'm not watching The Marvelous Miss Maisel.
I hope, just for stand-up comedy as a whole, I hope Janelle wins.
I want Janelle to win.
Yeah.
For all of stand-up comedy, I need Janelle to win.
Because I feel like black women's stand-up comics just get paid dust, like, all the time.
All the time.
So I feel like a show like Abbott that has a woman on the show that's also an amazing stand-up comedian. I don't know if you've like, ever seen her, but she's so good.
Oh, yeah. We've done shows together. Yeah. We did a show together out here. She is not only so amazing, but so just supportive of young Black female talent mm-hmm. in comics. Like, she used to run her own festival.
That's why I started running my own festival.
Exactly.
Because I saw Janelle doing it.
I talked to her, and she was just like, I got sick of all these white festivals being like, I only accept one person of color, and we only, and
I
it's
just
gonna
didn't
be
get
a man.
One the other day. So, yep. So it's just like, Janelle is like one of the reasons why I'm gonna run a comedy festival.
Yeah.
Too.
Like, I'm gonna do my own. I don't need to wait for these people. And then also, but beyond that, she started her own festival and said, oh, I'm not going to let you like typecast me as being like this Black female comic who's just for like Black people who just does her shows in Harlem. Mm. She was like, this is an alt comedy festival. Like had, you know, Maria Bamford, all of these like white indie hipster people.
Come be on the thing.
Come be on it. Who were like, we love her. We want her approval. Like she changed the game. I need her to get her Emmy. Yeah.
Let's go. Team Janelle.
Team Janelle. I love you, Io. I love you, Cheryl Lee Ralph. I love you, Jessica Williams. Jessica was the best part of Shrinking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like.
Yeah, I couldn't watch it because they didn't hire me, so.
I know how that goes.
Yeah, I
there's
interviewed
a few shows,
for that
yeah.
one, so I was just like, I can't
there's
watch
There's a
it.
Few shows where when I interview and if I don't get it, I'm like,
shout out to Jessica, though.
Right. Will I watch the last season of Big Mouth? We'll see. Will it have? I don't know.
Will anybody watch the last season of Big Mouth? Is a great question.
But I am just upset because I am afraid of a Ted Lasso wash. And you see,
really? You think that would happen?
Well, you see, last time, I believe Hannah Waddingham has usually been in the best actress in a comedy series. This time, they like put both Ted Lasso women in supporting actress with Juno and Hannah. Hannah, I think because for the final season, they didn't want it to seem like, oh, Juno supporting Hannah's the main, even though that is exactly what it is.
That is what it is.
So now we have Hannah, and I think she's going to win it. People like she was the best part of the last season of Ted Lasso.
That'll be kind of like when Jamie Lee Curtis won that Oscar.
It's about to be just like that, and it's gonna make me angry. I like I'm already prepared to see like when they do the reaction shots and the cameras on Janelle. I'm already prepared to see the look like her and Io share because I know it's gonna be Hannah.
There are over 75 million monthly Tubi viewers. That's more people than there are in France. Which means Tubi is more popular than cigarettes for breakfast. It's more popular than considering iced coffee a total abomination. More popular than loving political revolutions. More popular than mère and mère somehow being different words. Tubi, it's more popular than being French. See you in there.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
What do you think of best actor in a comedy series since your boss didn't get it?
Well, that's the thing. How can you give it out when the best guy is not even in there?
Right? It's not even valid.
I'm going to be real. I think Dave is better than all five of these white guys. If we're going to give it to a white guy, let's give it to the one that really did it.
He did do a great job this last season.
Look, and I know I'm biased because I'm friends with him. I work with him and everything. But here's the thing, though. What if Jason Sudeikis had to write Ted Lasso, make music for it, and then also help direct it and like help cast it and get Drake and Brad Pitt to be in the show?
To be in the show.
And it's just like, the dude rapped, sang, acted, like he did everything. Yeah. And was great, too.
And was good. And hit every emotional beat. Meanwhile, this last season of Ted Lasso, Jason Sudeikis barely even wanted to be in the show. Like, he's barely in episodes.
Oh, he's not in it that much?
Yeah, because, like, you can tell that he as a person got kind of sick of this character, gets kind of sick of the bit. And so most of the last season is everyone around, like, Ted Lasso. And that basically makes it so they could write him out because, they, you know, Jason doesn't want to do it. They're going to do a spinoff, obviously.
Right.
and they truly just use the entire last season to be like okay, let's like put Jason on the sidelines.
We have a category where there's more white dudes named Jason than there are black men in the category.
And there's none. It's for best actor, we have Bill Hader, Martin Short, Jason Segel, Jason Sudeikis, and Jeremy Allen White. A very attractive group of men, you know? I mean, I'm not kicking Jeremy Allen White out of bed.
That's
but,
hilarious.
You know, first of all, I still just take issue with Jeremy Allen White getting these comedy series nominations when he is doing his most dramatic work.
And the thing is, he's a great actor.
An amazing actor.
And like, I've met the guy. I was on Shameless for a day. I think he's really dope. I think he's a great actor, but it's like,
so nice.
It's just not funny.
It's not funny. And he's not doing anything funny. He like,
at least with Bill Hader, like Barry is a dark comedy at its core.
Like,
and like, it's making fun of Hollywood and stuff. You know, he also directed a lot of those episodes.
Yes,
he writes them, and it's like I know a couple people that have worked on the crew, and it's just like they said he's like one of those guys that he worked every position on set, so he knows how to run a good set and everything like that. So
yeah,
if I had to pick somebody, I'd say Bill.
I want it to be Bill, especially with this category. I feel like they set it up so Bill can win.
Yeah,
like it should be Bill. But
if it was up to me, know, it'd be Mr. David Byrd taking home the trophy.
Yeah, but you know, these old white people in the Academy are just like, Martin Short, I've loved him since the 60s.
Yeah.
And then Only Murders.
I mean, Only Murders in the Building definitely gets some like, oh, we like these guys nominees.
That's the one where it's like, I've been a fan for forever.
I don't know anybody like my age that watches the show.
I watch it.
Really?
I do.
It's cool.
Fine. It's like, yeah, it's cool.
My dad watched it, and like, I don't really gauge things off my dad.
Yeah.
My dad likes The Rock movies. So it's just like, when he says something is cool, like, he said Only Murders in the Building is fine. And he loves Steve Martin. So when he said it was fine, I was like,
It's fine. Isn't it
like based off like Steve Martin heard like a murder podcast and was like, wasn't this TV? And it's like, it kind of already
is. And it already is. It is. Like, the whole show feels like what old people like think young people want. Like, they're like, these young kids are so obsessed with murder.
Well, that makes sense why it's getting up. That's who votes.
And so,
that's
who votes. So, you know. Fine.
Yeah,
fine.
Bill's got to win that one.
And then, like, the young people pretend to like it because Selena Gomez is in it. But
I forgot she's in that.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I do want to talk about the best supporting actor in a comedy series because there's some heavy hitters here.
There are.
We have Anthony Carrigan from Barry, Phil Dunster from Ted Lasso, who was the best part of the last
Anthony
season.
Anthony Carrigan is NoHo Hank, right?
Yes, okay. That's NoHo Hank.
Okay.
We have Brett Goldstein, also from Ted Lasso, who has already won the award in the past, so who cares? No offense, he's also very talented and very funny, but also, you won already. Let's move on. James Marsden.
I was very surprised.
I am shocked.
I'm so happy, though.
I am so happy.
I thought he was hilarious.
He was the best.
I didn't know he was that funny.
I didn't know he was that funny.
I had no idea.
I like the way he was just able to make fun of himself. I need a Jury Duty sweep because I'm just shocked Jury Duty even got the nomination.
If Jury Duty won all the comedy stuff, I'd be so happy. I was texting my friend Marcos today that writes for the show, and I was just like, dude, like, the show's genius.
Yeah. It's genius. Mickey Lepper, who I think is so great.
He's great. I met him like a couple months ago. We did a show together, and I was just telling him, like, y'all killed it. I know he got nominated for writing.
I need him to win.
He's amazing.
And again, another amazing stand-up. Like, the first time I ever did a big featuring spot in Boston, I was opening for him. He was so nice. Yeah.
He's funny.
And it's just another guy who's just so funny, like, loves lifting people up and makes weird stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I need the stand-up comedy people to get their dues here, and I need James Marsden to win this. Like, sorry, I love you, Tyler James Williams. Everybody hates Chris. I love
you. The thing with Tyler is he'll have more chances to win because just Abbott is now like this perennial show.
Yeah, like
whereas like Jury Duty, that's not gonna happen again.
It's not gonna happen again. So they can never really do it again.
They couldn't put my boy Gata in there.
Yeah.
I say James, you know.
And Gata also, I believe, deserved that supporting actor series nom.
Just don't know who, you know. I just feel like him and Dave are just one of the best just like comedy duos on TV. For somebody that's not the title character, he just brings so much like impact to the show.
You know, I mostly also wanted Dave to get a lot of nominations because I knew it would make Donald Glover very angry. Like, if Dave had gotten one nomination like, he would have been so angry.
Yeah, he definitely would have.
So I know he's somewhere going, maybe Atlanta only got one, but at least we got nominated. Mm-hmm. So then we also have the best categories for limited or anthology series.
Right.
Are you big in this category?
Well, I'm a big Beef fan. I haven't seen any of these other shows.
Yeah, this is always one of those categories where I'm like, oh, what? I didn't even know that was a thing that got made.
I saw a lot of billboards for Fleischman Is in Trouble. I don't know what it's about.
Yeah, I watched Fleischman Is in Trouble. It is about a man who is awful and sucks. Like, truly, it is just about, like, the guy who played the Facebook dude.
Oh, Lizzie Kaplan's in it?
Yeah, Lizzie Kaplan's in it. She's the best part. All the best parts of Fleischman in Trouble got nominated. Claire Danes.
Claire Danes is in it.
Yes.
I need to go watch this show.
Yes.
I love Lizzie Kaplan, like, and Claire Danes. I'm gonna go watch this.
There's one episode that just focuses on the two of them, and it's like the best thing.
Yeah.
Outside of that, the show is about basically Claire Danes' ex-husband being like, my wife sucks. I hate her. I think she's cheating on me. And then you find out that actually she just had like a horrific mental breakdown and is like in need of serious help.
Oh, no.
The whole time he's just like, I hate my bitch wife. And it's not that great of a show until the one episode at the end when you see the wife story and it's like, oh, okay.
I'm gonna check it out.
So yeah, it's worth checking out. Okay. I think I kind of figured it would get the nominations because it has the cast.
Yeah.
I'm very happy for Dominique Fishback and Swarm.
Me too.
And then I gotta give a shout out to my girl, because listeners, you know I'm a Daisy Jones fan.
You watch that show? You like it?
Oh, I love Daisy Jones.
It's like, good?
Yes. It's good. Is it good in like the way you might think of good? No, I'm not going to answer that for people, because it's good in a way that it changed
my entire life.
I'm kind of a
sucker for like movies and shows about like music groups and stuff.
Exactly.
So
like,
if I watch it, I'd probably like it.
And as soon as you're like, oh, it's just like Fleetwood Mac, like fan fiction.
It's a fictional band.
Yes. It's not a real band, but except I do tell people they're real.
That's funny.
But they did get Best Actress in a Limited Series with Riley.
Yeah, Elvis's granddaughter.
Yeah, Elvis's granddaughter. Winning for that. She hasn't won, but she was nominated. I think she should win,
I'm rooting for Ali Wong on that one.
I do want it to be Ali Wong.
Because I met Ali Wong at a party like a couple months ago.
Was she nice?
She's so cool.
Yeah,
and
she seems so
if
cool.
She wins, I'm going to say I was her good luck charm.
Yeah.
So
I want it to be Ali. Like, I want Beef to win a lot. I know there was a lot of controversy around the casting.
No, for sure.
They are nominated
for best
casting. Which I thought was a little funny, because that was the worst part of the show.
When Ali Wong is just like, she's so good at stand-up, and I know she's been wanting to like acting stuff, and some of the things I've seen her in, I just didn't think was good. But
yeah.
I was like, she's obviously a good actor, so it was just cool to like finally see her play a role where she can do all this different types of shit with range.
Yeah.
To show that she just doesn't just tell jokes.
And yeah.
So that's why I love Beef so much, just being a fan of her.
And I hope people don't get weighed down in the controversy of it when it comes to recognizing individual achievements.
Yeah,
in
individual achievements.
You know, and that guy didn't get nominated, okay?
Right.
So like.
And I don't think he should have, even without that, I don't think he should have. He was fine.
Like, yeah.
I didn't even think he was.
He was like. Pretty okay in the show. Mm-hmm. He did a good job doing what he had to do, but it also felt like you are playing yourself.
He's a piece of shit playing a piece of shit.
Playing a piece of shit.
Great job, bro.
So, and then one of the kind of underdogs here was Welcome to Chippendales, which got a lot of nominations. Kumail Nanjiani, Juliette Lewis.
So I thought that was eligible for last year. So I guess that came out in a different window, like a
Yeah, I think it came out in a later window.
I completely forgot about that show.
Exactly. People completely forgot about it. Like, I think I watched it earlier this year. I don't even remember really when it came out, but I did like it. And
he had a good performance in it. I saw a couple episodes.
Yeah, it felt like one of those shows that would just kind of be overlooked.
Yeah.
So I'm very, very happy that it wasn't. Like, every nomination that came through, Murray Bartlett, who I absolutely thought deserved for that show, got it. So, you know, I'm pretty happy with Best Supporting in Anthology Series, all of this, except I don't believe that we should have gotten all these Dahmer nominations.
Yeah, that's one of those things that just comes from it was the most watched show.
Yeah.
And so it's one of those things of like, okay, that's I feel like that's a marketing play.
Yeah, I feel like Netflix just buys some of this, like Dahmer getting nominated and then Wednesday.
Yeah.
Wednesday got so many comedy nominations.
Well, that's the thing. It's like those are the two shows where the ratings were just through the roof.
Yeah. So it's just like one of those things.
Like, come on. Like,
they bought
that.
You want people to watch this?
Because that's the thing about these award shows. If you can get just like regular people who don't really care about this kind of shit to watch it, then you win.
Yeah.
You know? So like a show like a Dahmer that was just like, I don't even understand how the ratings were just crazy.
No idea. It's like, have you guys not watched a documentary before?
My thing was just like, do you not know the story? Like,
yeah,
it's just...
It's we've been here. This is not, you know, but Niecy Nash did get a nom for that. And so I'm happy for her. Love her. But, you know.
Ray Liotta got one?
Yeah, Ray Liotta got
from
one
the
for,
grave.
For the From the
Grave. I see you, Ray.
Which I feel like he's gonna win because
what is Blackbird? I've never even heard of this.
Yo, okay, I don't even know. So I was looking it up before this, and I remembered. Okay, so it's on Apple TV. And
oh, so this is an Apple TV.
Someone told me it has the creepy guy who played Richard Jewell. He also was in I Think You Should Leave. He's the guy who's like, oh, I'm never going to say my lines faster than Tony, whatever.
Oh, okay.
He's that guy. And it's like him playing this dramatic, creepy role where he is like a serial killer. And I guess Ray Liotta is a cop who like tries to get in his head so he can help them find other serial killers or something. I don't really know. But it just, again, seems like one of those things where it's like Apple TV bought a nomination.
Okay. And it's a limited series, so it's just a one season.
Yeah. Thing. So one season, it's like, you know. Okay. The best writing for a comedy series. We did finally get some recognition for the other two here.
Finally.
Yes. I wanted the other two to get a comedy nom, but I think Jury Duty took their slot.
Shout out Chris and Sarah, man.
Yeah.
Y'all mean asses is funny. That's all I want to say.
They mean as hell, apparently. They are so mean, apparently. They're so mean. Tina Fey made fun of how mean they are.
Which is crazy.
Which is wild. And, okay, I think with Tina Fey, most people know the rumors of how mean she is in a writer's room. Like, I was going to be like, maybe this is, like, Hollywood word of mouth.
Right.
No, everybody knows how Tina Fey runs a room. It's a lot of, like, sarcasm. You got to be on your toes.
Yeah.
And apparently, Chris Kelly and Sarah Schneider took that to, like, the 11th level of hell.
Right. They was acting like they was running Guantanamo Bay over there.
Yeah. Like, apparently, they, like, the people who have written on the other two consider themselves, like, survivors of war. And
hey, I wasn't there, so they might be right.
Yeah, and I mean, this last season was the funniest season.
The show is just so funny.
It's so funny.
I haven't finished the last season just because like I don't want to be done with it yet.
Exactly.
It's just so funny.
It's just joke for joke,
and I feel like a lot of times we just miss that in the shows that do get marketed and do get this recognition. Just like it's just like a lot of shows where it's like, oh yeah, I guess that was funny. But like the other two is like you will audibly laugh out loud.
Yeah, laugh out loud, actual jokes. And if you gotta be that mean to get that funny,
it be like that sometimes.
You know, I mean, the proof is here in the nomination, kind of, because they didn't get series.
That is interesting to get writing but not get series.
Yeah, though. And I do feel like...
I don't feel like there's one episode in that season that's just head and shoulders better than the rest of it.
It's
all just very funny.
Yeah, as a whole, I would
Do you know
guess,
which episode it was?
No.
Okay.
Not sure which one, but I would guess because they have such a reputation of being evil and like people in Hollywood, the way they work, mm-hmm. I would guess people were like, y'all are mean, so we will give you a writing nomination, but we will not give you a series nom. Like,
that's it.
They have hurt too many people.
Yeah, probably.
And then the drama categories. I don't think I've ever been more bored by the drama nominations for the Emmys.
Yeah.
It turns out the Academy only watched 3 dramas this year.
Right, and it felt like you already know what it was.
Yeah, I feel like, do I even need to say Succession, White Lotus, and The Last of Us? Edging in as sort of the like new one that stood out.
Right.
Like, I love Succession. I love it, obviously. Mm-hmm. Very good show.
Yeah.
But
there's other shows.
There's other shows.
But it's just like, it seems like prestige drama has turned into rich white people problems on TV over the last like 10 years. And it's just kind of gotten to the point, it's like, we get it. Like,
yeah,
we get it.
Because
it's just like for a show like Snowfall in its last season to not get anything,
to
it's
not
just
get a
kinda
thing.
Crazy to me.
And
like, Damson, I feel like should have been in there. And then you got like P-Valley, like,
P-Valley got snubbed, for sure.
I feel like there's just dramas that have to do with other things in life that just they just didn't watch.
Yeah, they didn't watch. And for me, the most annoying part is like, okay, I know Succession and like The Last of Us. I know those shows are going to sweep like best drama, best actor, best actress. Mm-hmm. I get it. Even though I do think it's kind of funny for best actor, you have Brian Cox, Kieran Culkin, and Jeremy Strong all going up against each other.
Because they filled the supporting actor category.
Yeah, because they filled supporting actor category too.
That just and means then, we just have a lot of white men in our show.
Yep. And then on top of that, they took over all of the guest categories. Like usually the guest categories.
So two shows.
Two shows
that's crazy.
Took over all the guest categories. And usually that's like, oh, we get a little opportunity for some, you know, that would be where your Brad Pitts stand out, you know, this. And instead they were just like, how about every person who was on Succession was a guest actor?
Yeah, when the government slashed affirmative action, the Academy was like, hey, why don't we do it too?
Yeah, we can do it too. Like, it's just so irritating to me because I don't think all of these people who guested on White Lotus deserve this.
Yeah, I didn't get the Nicholas Braun one.
Yeah, I don't think he should have been nominated. Like he was so
because like I get Skarsgård.
Somebody
I was kind of talking on Twitter. Me, we were going back and forth about the Alan Ruck thing, and they gave some examples, and I was like, okay, I guess, but
yeah, again, that's
Matthew.
One...
I get it too.
Yeah.
He was great.
Yeah. And that one for me is like, I think Matthew should have been best actor. And yeah. So I know that's going to be controversial.
That could have been, I couldn't really argue that.
I think Matthew was in it enough. Yeah. I think he should have been best actor and Kieran should have done best supporting. And if Kieran had done best supporting, he would have won.
I get the Skarsgård.
I get, you know, some of these.
I didn't watch this season of White Lotus, so I don't know these white men.
Yeah, like looking at it, honestly, I don't think the men of season two of the White Lotus really deserve this many nominations. Because I would have just given it to Michael Imperioli, like Theo James.
Because it's just like, you're telling me four guys from White Lotus are better than all the supporting actors on like a Snowfall?
Yes, right. Right.
Like, that's crazy.
You're telling
that me. That just means you didn't watch the show.
You didn't watch the other shows. And that's usually how this goes. Like, I think they did an interview in Variety that, like, talked to a bunch of, like, people who vote on the awards and are in the Academy. And they literally were just like, usually I've only seen, like, 1% of the things nominated. Like, actually, that really upset me this year because, so the show I wrote for, Alabama Jackson,
right.
We were a four-year consideration last year in the best, like, animated short category. And previously, like, you just had to, if you got some votes, you would be nominated in this category and, like, there would be something.
Right.
Then they changed it this year to you had to pre-screen any of the animated shorts. And then anything that got a vote had to at least get like 9/10 or something of the vote. And no short animated did. So like there's no category. Nothing got nominated because nothing got enough clearance.
That's a dumb reason to not nominate.
Yeah, people. Because obviously as an you know, I focus mostly, I do a lot of animated writing. That is a category where cool things are like actually allowed to shine, like, you know, like shorts that might have been online only that people didn't really get to see.
Right.
And instead this year they were like, we're changing the rules. It didn't get any attention. So, you know, we're just not going to have the category. So a lot of the shifts this year in rules, I think, have made some things better, some things worse. When it comes to animated, worse, because we're getting less of it.
Yes.
When it comes to late night and talk shows, though,
right,
we have a big change that has happened. So Best Talk Series, or as it's basically known, the John Oliver Award, because John Oliver has won it like every year for the past like five or six years. Like, it's not even a category anymore. Like, we all know Last Week Tonight with John Oliver is going to win. Mm-hmm. So finally, they changed it. They switched up the categories. So now John Oliver is in Best Variety Series with Saturday Night Live and a Black Lady Sketch Show. And Best Talk Series is now like The Daily Show with Trevor Noah, Jimmy Kimmel Live, Late Night with Seth Meyers, The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, and The Problem with Jon Stewart, which, you know, most people are like, Jon Stewart came in and took John Oliver's spot.
Wow.
And then John Oliver, because technically he is not a talk series. Like, he doesn't do talk interviews. He does like staged pieces.
Oh, so you have to do interviews now.
Yes,
for
now,
to be
to be a talk series, you have to have like a talk segment.
And they changed that this year?
They changed that this year to give basically all these other shows a chance because John Oliver just kept sweeping the category.
Was what's her name? Z-Way not eligible?
Z-Way would have been eligible and I think was a four-year consideration.
Okay.
So I think it did not get a nomination.
That's interesting.
And I believe after the first season, it was a little like, how come Z-Way didn't get this? And also, Desus and Mero was like never nominated.
They never got nominated, huh?
Yeah. So it's still basically like the white guy late night show category.
Right.
Even though we do have Trevor Noah.
Because Amber Ruffin would be eligible too, right?
She would have been eligible, never got a nomination for it. And now I don't believe they're bringing her show back.
Yeah. I don't think they are.
Yeah. So I like that John Oliver was such a threat that they just were like, let's change the rules.
There are over 75 million monthly Tubi viewers. That's more people than there are influencers on the internet. Which means Tubi is more popular than sponsored posts for digestive enzymes and high coverage foundation. More popular than soft launching your boyfriend. More popular than making boomers explode with rage when you tell them how much you make on a single post. Tubi, it's more popular than influencers. See you in there.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Having John Oliver go up against Saturday Night Live is kind of a like refreshing battle. Like SNL,
how Lauren feels about that,
right? Like SNL is usually just steamrolling that category,
right?
Because it's only ever SNL and a black lady sketch show.
Yeah, and there hasn't been enough like consistent sketch shows to even be in that category.
To be in the category, so
because I think You Should Leave isn't.
No, I think You Should Leave, like, they did this weird thing where they considered it, like, short digital video comedy or something instead of, like, a sketch show, which I think is a way for Netflix to try to, like, game it from being in the same category as Saturday Night Live.
Huh.
But honestly, I don't think I Think You Should Leave would win up against Saturday Night Live.
No, they wouldn't let that happen.
No, those old white people would not let that happen.
The guy you fired? Yeah, not going to
let that. But I do think John Oliver has what it takes to take it from SNL.
He definitely has a chance.
And I would love to see it.
I would love to see that.
I would love to see SNL finally lose. Yeah. No offense, but let's like get them on their toes a bit.
Yeah.
Like I think, you know, they knew.
Yeah, if they have to go against John and Oliver every year from now on, you know.
Yeah, and we'll a black see. Lady sketch show, they announced it is not coming back for another season.
Oh, this is the last one?
So this is the last one.
Okay.
Last chance at a nom.
Okay.
It also got some like directing nominations and like production. You know, I think it'll win there. I did also think that all of the reality nominations were very boring.
Vanderpump Rules finally got one.
I think
that was from like all the internet.
Yeah, that was, I think, just internet buzz.
Marketing is everything, baby.
It's all marketing. I'm going to be real. I want my Selling Sunset Girls to win.
Yeah?
Yeah. I want my Selling
I've
Sunset
heard
Girls
things.
To win. Like, they're incredible. That's, you know.
I've heard good things.
In the last season, bringing in Nick Cannon's baby mama.
Which one?
How am I supposed to know the answer to that? She's the mother of the eighth child.
Oh, okay. So she's later in the game. Okay.
Yeah, like I think at one point her tag at the bottom is like her name and then it says mother of eighth baby to Nick Cannon.
Wow.
So, you know, they deserve.
Okay.
And then, you know, we do have a best television movie. Did you watch any of these? Dolly Parton's Mountain Magic Christmas.
I watched Prey, and I thought Prey was really good.
I loved Prey.
In fact, I think it was the most streamed movie on Hulu.
I think it was.
Year.
Yeah, I think I would love for Prey to win. Also, loved Fire Island.
I heard Fire Island was good.
Yeah.
I just haven't seen it.
It's really good. I would, and again, another piece here made by an amazing stand-up comedian, Joel Kim Booster.
Joel's funny.
So funny. Yeah, so, funny. You know.
Okay, I gotta watch Fire Island.
Yeah. And I have not watched Weird, the Al Yankovic
I heard it's
story.
Not bad.
I heard it's not bad, but I don't understand what the Roku channel is or how I get it or how I watch it. So yeah. They gotta put that on a real channel for me to
A real channel?
Sorry.
I didn't hear good things about Hocus Pocus 2.
I did not hear good things about it, and I'm a big Hocus Pocus person.
I love Hocus Pocus.
And the reviews were so bad, I was just like, I'm just gonna not do this. So, you know, overall, though, I feel like not a lot of surprises here.
Nah.
Some snubs. Reservation Dogs did not get a nomination.
Yeah, I thought they would maybe get something.
How are you feeling overall about these noms? Disappointed? Happy?
I mean, it's just like, I feel a lot of them I saw coming already. I really thought Dave would get a nominee. I thought we'd get a couple.
I thought at I'm happy, least
but I'm
writing.
Happy like Jury Duty got in there.
Yeah.
I'm really happy Jury Duty.
I think Jury Duty took that like silly the right. True comedy slot.
Which is crazy that there's like, all right, let's do a spot for one show that actually has jokes.
That actually has jokes.
Like, all right, whatever.
Like, you know. So we've talked enough about the Emmys. I do want to talk about your experience being a writer. You know, I think people look at Emmy Day and all these nominations and they get so excited about their favorites or their favorite shows that the actual writers and people behind it, we get lost.
We do. And we make it all happen.
Yeah. So working on Dave, what was it like?
Oh, it was amazing. For a first writing job, like that was just so ideal. Which to work for somebody that came up like off the internet, it was wasn't hard to kind of relate, and it wasn't hard to kind of know exactly like what he wanted for the show, because we speak the same language, and that was part of the reason like I got the job, because he had saw my first stand up special on YouTube, so that was part of the reason like I got in there. So it was just a great collaborative process, and he's just like one of those guys that he wants everybody to throw something in the pot, like regardless if you're staff writer. Like if you're the showrunner's assistant, whatever, like everybody had a chance to throw stuff in. So he's a really collaborative guy.
That's so amazing, because I feel like so many of these shows that get nominated, you hear about the writer's room experience, and like Marvelous Miss Maisel, for example, they have like a room of playwrights who like write the show. And then they have like three comedians they bring on every season who they're just like, put a joke here.
What?
You know, but it's like very much understood, like the playwrights behind this are writing the show, you know?
Huh.
Another reason I'm like, why are you in the comedy category?
Right.
Usually I feel like the showrunners have such like, you know, control over what they want in the show, who they let like give ideas, like what they want to work with. So hearing that Dave is truly just like
everybody. I mean, I feel like this season, what made this season so good, I feel like everyone kind of got their perspective in there a little bit.
Yeah.
And so like, cause like a lot of the seasons about like dating and his relationship with women. So I think a lot of the, like the women writers on our staff really got to really put stuff in there that probably, you know, if it was a show where he was just like, all right, this is my life, we're doing whatever I want.
Yeah, this is Dave's show.
But like he allowed like the women writers in the room to like really mold a lot of the situations and characters and stuff. And I think it made it way better.
Yeah. And I mean, I think you see that the best gift from that is everything we see with Gata.
Yes. Like, it's so real, because that's him.
That's him. And, like, the episode where Gata, like, where they go back to Atlanta and, like, Gata realizes his friends, like, set him up to steal the chain.
That was
stuff.
One of my favorite episodes my to put together.
Yes, my favorite. We also have Usher. Like, before Usher was back in the news, like, Dave knew what was up. So
That was another thing. A lot of the guest stars in our show all had, like, little things that popped off in the zeitgeist, because like I think like MGK and Jack Harlow like dissed each other, and then like 2 weeks later the episode came out. Like it was crazy. So like a lot of shit like happened in the media.
Which was your episode?
That was my episode.
How did it feel to watch the clip of Jack Harlow going pussy? How did it feel?
It was
to see that go viral.
Being on set to see the two of them just go at it was so funny, because like a lot of the stuff, like every time they would get like a zing on each other, we'd all kind of look at each other. Laughing like I think one of them meant that shit. Like,
yeah,
that shit was, they were really just going back and forth. Like it's funny. Like they really had to whittle it down to get some of that stuff in there, because I mean it was just so much good stuff. The two of them are just so funny.
This is why we need DVDs back. With
right,
like, the bonus
I would love
material.
To be able to have like all the deleted scenes from this season in a thing, in a blooper reel. Because like just from the bloopers they showed us at like the party, I was like, if people could see this, like right? Brad Pitt bloopers, dude. Like, I feel so like honored to be able to see that.
They need to bring this back. I truly can't believe Brad Pitt did not get a nom for that episode.
He was amazing.
He was amazing.
There's a scene in the show where he gets a gun held to his head.
Yeah.
And the girl tells him, do something that'll get yourself canceled.
Yeah.
And like, and he says something in like an Asian accent.
Yeah, he's like, well, I don't know, there's this one time I did it, but I didn't even say it. And they're like, you have to do it. And it's like,
it was just amazing. And yeah,
it's so funny.
It's everything you would want if Brad Pitt was in a show.
But you know, big Angelina Jolie, she's still out here. She's out in these streets. So she put the kibosh on that. She was like, no.
Yep. It happens.
And obviously I want to talk to you about I Think You Should Leave. Mm-hmm. What was the filming experience like on set? Because that is one of those shows, and viewers, if you have not watched I Think You Should Leave yet, which, like, what's your problem?
Come on.
You, like, get it together. I watched the whole new season in one day. You're in the sketch where you're playing a character filming a sitcom.
Right.
And
that he even said, like, that was one of his most ambitious sketches. So it was, like, crazy to be a part of it because they essentially had to write 3 scripts for 1 sketch.
Yeah.
And so, like,
because, yeah, that was the part I was curious about, because what your characters are doing feels like a real script.
We did our own complete
show.
Thing.
Yeah.
So the cool thing is, so, like, we're sitcom actors acting out a sitcom, and then there's a live audience. So what they did first, before they brought everybody in, they gave us the scripts for the sitcom. And so we had to act out the sitcom for like an hour. And so we learned the entire sitcom, our blocking. Like, it was like a real show. Like, my friend Bruce Gray, that's a comedian that's in that, he was also one of the sitcom actors. Like, there's a moment where he comes in and like he sits down and like the crowd applauses and stuff. And so like we had to like learn all these cues. Like, we were in a real sitcom.
Yeah.
Like, we really felt like we were on Friends. Like, we had to learn everything like a real sitcom. And then they brought Tim in and Tim watched us do it. And he kind of like saw like, okay, these are the points where I'm going to kind of jump in and say things in the mics in the
yeah.
audience. And so then they brought in the whole studio audience. So then we had to take the rehearsal and like act out the real sitcom in front of the background actors who are the audience. And so that's when things like really got kind of like, all right, I'm kind of nervous now because like I can't flub the line because they have to laugh after I say it and then it goes to the next person. So it
yeah.
was like they had to create a whole sitcom set, create a sitcom, and then let Tim do his thing. So like there was just so many moving parts. We were there for a long time.
That is
but
so
it was
cool.
So everybody was having so much fun though.
Yeah.
Because it was like the sitcom stuff was funny, the background stuff was funny, and then Tim is just hilarious. And like to get to watch him just do like all these takes, like they'll just like, all right, this we'll let Tim do takes, and he'll just do like a bunch
of
different stuff and never repeat the same thing.
Yeah.
So
like
funny.
I would love to just get some sort of documentary on his improv process and just behind the scenes. Again, may put it on a documentary.
Yeah, I would love to a Tim Robinson documentary, how he gets in his characters is crazy because
yeah.
like when I got on set and I came out the trailer and I was changed, he was there chilling, and we talked for a second. He's like the most normal dude in the world.
Yeah.
Like again, he's yeah. nothing like these people he
nothing.
Plays on TV.
Like, again, I want it on a DVD so you can like see, because in reality, he's just like a dad with like kids. He skateboards.
Yeah, he skateboards.
He's just like hardcore skater. You would never think he's yeah. actually that cool.
Like when I was talking to him, I was expecting him to like, say something weird or like spit everywhere, but like
yeah.
no, he was just
he was
super
like, oh.
normal.
And he's like, no,
it was
kind of
jarring how normal he was.
Yeah, just a normal guy popping ollies, doing my thing.
But it was dope to just be in the season and get to see him work and everything.
Yeah. Also, you've worked on all these shows. So was Dave your last gig before the writer's strike?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
so that was kind of upsetting. It's like the show comes out and we're on strike, and so.
Yeah.
You can't really feed off of momentum. You know, usually, like, I write an episode, like, the Met Gala episode, I'm having meetings, like, the next day and
yeah.
talking to people about it, but it's just, like, it came out and we're on strike, and so I feel like a lot of people didn't even, like, see it.
Yeah, like, that momentum just isn't there. And then there are TV writers, there are comedians who go into TV writing, and it's like, we kind of have this thing we can fall back on because, like, the two of us, we've been on tour all summer,
right.
we're, like, doing shows to kind of support ourselves.
Kind of.
Like, comedy
we'll
does not pay like television does.
No, it does not.
You know? Like, how do you, like, kind of, how have you been managing that divide of, like, trying to get on the picket line, like, really support the WGA,
yeah.
and also, you know, we still have to work. We got to, like, get out. We got to do shows. We got to be on tour.
Right. Yeah, it's definitely been tough. Like, balancing being on the pick, because I haven't been on the picket line as much just with like work. Like I work at a dispensary now. I'm a bud tender. That sucks. And then I do stand up. And so like I still want to perform, and just like I got to text somebody like literally after this to let them know like, hey, I can't do the show Saturday. I got called into work.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many shows like I've been missing because like I have to work.
Yeah. And it's like people don't realize like I had to get a day job. Like the thing I do for work isn't happening right now. And now they're like, you're going to starve until October. Yeah. So
I don't know what I'm about to do, because I'm in the process of trying to like find a new place and everything. So it's just like all this is annoying. And then I got tour dates in August. So I'm trying to go make a little money going to do that. But it's definitely just really hard. Like you really trying to balance all this stuff, and then you still want to support and be on the picket lines and everything. But, you know, some days it's just like really tired. Like I was on my feet for 9 hours at work. Like I don't know if I can just walk the picket lines all day.
Right, exactly. It's so, like I go work at like a restaurant, and then I like have to go picket, and then I also have to go do shows all night and go on tour and like do my podcast and all this. And it's like, I need the TV jobs back.
Yeah, I need the TV jobs back.
I need the TV jobs
Dave
back.
Dave season 4, please.
I'm hopeful. I mean, but it's also like, who knows what's happening?
Who knows who knows is going to be brought back with all this and like things that got greenlit right before.
Right before that, it's like you, even when they come back, they'll probably be like, oh, we know we said yes to this, but, you know, kind of like what happened with GLOW at the beginning of coronavirus. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It's just a scary, scary time.
It is.
But all of that to say, if you're listening and you love stand-up comedy, go support the comics you love.
Please.
Ooh, it's paying the bills. Go get those tickets.
Please.
Support the stand-up comics you love. And, you know, before we go, I do want to do a quick watch list with you.
Yeah.
Give the people some shows to watch. Outside of all of these white shows, the Academy wants to force on you. What are you watching?
Watch Southside.
Yes.
On HBO Max while it's still on there.
While it's still on there.
Never know. Never know with these people.
Yeah.
Definitely watch that. I would say... Watch this last season of Snowfall. I thought Damson Idris's performance in this last season was just like otherworldly. Like,
he was really good, and so was Brendan J. McLaren.
Yes,
he was so good in it.
Really good.
I
haven't watched the other two. I would say go watch. It is a very white show, but it didn't get a lot of love. I would say go watch that.
Yeah,
I did. I loved Beef, but I feel like everybody watched that.
Yeah, and go watch Dave.
Go watch. Please watch Dave. Specifically season 3, episode 8.
Yes, yes, Dave is a white man, but there are other people
in the show. There's other people in
the show. So, you know, for me, I've been watching The After Party, which just came back to Apple TV.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, the season 2 is here, the first 3 episodes. If you watch the first season, then you know the gimmick is that each episode is like a different genre of, you know, movie or comedy or whatever. And then it's trying to solve a murder. So far, the second season feels like it's lost its purpose a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, they don't really know what they want to do with it, and they're doing a lot of the same jokes.
Okay.
But, you know.
I quit after the pilot.
Yeah, it's like one of those shows where unless you really find these actors charming, it's kind of like, okay, I don't need to see the same the same plot like 8 times.
Yeah, because it very much felt like, what's the Knives Out?
Yeah, it's like Knives Out-esque, except... even more annoying because you truly watch the same events from like 8 different perspectives over each episode, and you're like, oh, okay, they're making the same joke about like the drunk, you know, thing at the wedding.
We did
again.
This already, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, but this time instead of a rom-com, it's like a murder thing. And it's just like, I don't care. I don't want to do that. But I probably will watch all of it. We also have, like I mentioned, Platonic, which just had its finale air. And again, I enjoyed it. Guy Branum was, for me, the best part of the show.
Yeah.
He's an incredibly talented stand-up comic.
He's so funny.
So funny. He's just incredible in it. He's, like, the funniest part.
Okay.
And it's just, like, it's a hangout sitcom, except, like, it wants to be more meaningful than that.
Okay.
But it's not. It's weird. So, hey, we got that. And then, you know, we also have... The Secrets of Miss America.
What is that?
It's like basically a spinoff of The Secrets of Playboy that A&E did. And now it's like looking at how the Miss America pageant is evil.
Huh.
Yeah. If you didn't know, Miss America pageant.
I figured.
It's one of those
Most
docs
things
so far.
That deal with young women are usually
it's
bad.
Gonna be evil, especially when they just they're like, this white guy Sam controls everything. Oh my god! And it's like, yeah, of course he's evil to all of these girls. So the first 2 episodes are out. It's, you know, for a true crime thing on A&E, it's pretty well done. And it is highlighting stories people weren't aware of.
Okay.
But it is not as salacious as The Secrets of Playboy. So
Secrets of Playboy was crazy, huh?
Secrets of Playboy is crazy.
Okay.
Secrets of Playboy, they were talking about, like, murders. Hugh Hefner had sex with a dog. Like,
huh?
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to watch this.
You should.
Hugh Hefner, like, I always say, Hugh Hefner died at the right time.
The exact right time.
When you're a white guy with money, you got to die at the right
time. The right time. Because he skipped all the heat. Like, They actually are bringing it back for a second season. There are so many Playboy secrets that they're making another season of Playboy secrets. But the first one, like, they interview, like, his girlfriend of multiple years, like, all these people who, like, give the inside knowledge of, like, everything in that house was recorded. He did this. He did this. So that was worth watching.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. Secrets of Miss America, though, doesn't quite live up to that shock. But
it's just like, oh, it's bad. Like,
yeah. Okay. It's kind of like, oh, they told us what to eat. And it's like, well, of course they did. It's you know, right. Miss America. Like, sorry.
Yeah.
You know, and they talk about how strict it is, like, during the year when you are Miss America. Like, you're not allowed to date. You're not allowed to, like, go out to bars. Like,
really?
People would be like, I would, like, dress up in a, like, disguise so I could, like, go out and drink with friends.
People just care about Miss America that much you can't go in public?
Apparently. If you told me, oh, that's Miss America, she has 8 boyfriends and a baby, I wouldn't care.
I wouldn't care.
But
I wouldn't even know what Miss America looks like.
I could not tell you who has won Miss America at any point in time.
Ever.
Other than, like, what, Vivica Fox?
Vivica Fox won?
She was Miss America, like, in the, like, I don't know, like, 80s or something. She was the first black woman to win.
Wow, I didn't know that.
But then they took away her title because she, like, took a nude picture or something.
Wait, no, that's Michelle Williams.
From Destiny's Child?
No. Michelle Williams, light-skinned lady. I don't think that was Vivica Fox. I think it's Michelle Williams. I think.
Michelle Williams from Destiny's Child.
No, not Michelle Williams from Destiny's Child. Michelle Williams, the actress.
White Michelle Williams?
No. Light-skinned Michelle Williams.
There's only 2 Michelle Williamses.
No, there's not. I promise you.
Vanessa Williams.
Vanessa Williams. My bad.
Oh, and I said Vanessa Fox.
That's who I was. Her face is who I was thinking
of. I said Vivica A. Fox. Yeah, it's so Vanessa Williams.
Vivica A. Fox and Michelle Williams is
together. We got there on that one.
Yeah, because I was about to say she was on Desperate Housewives for a second.
Yeah, she was the first. Yes, they're the first African American to receive the Miss America title. But yeah, they took away her crown for, I don't remember, she took a new picture or something. But
sounds like an episode of The Idol or something.
Yeah, yeah. Which,
no nominee for Tedros. That's crazy.
I can't believe The Idol didn't get anything. Wow. <That's...
laughs> I thought The Weeknd was gonna get that best
actor. I mean, I thought it would get like a best original song, maybe.
Really?
I mean, that one song is kind of a banger. Where she's like,
I'm just a freak, yeah. It kind of goes hard.
You
know, I'm not going to lie.
I want it. Oh, I was at a birthday party last
week. They
played it like 3 times.
That's hilarious.
And I was kind of like, it does me anyway. Yeah, it was
supposed to be the hottest show of the summer, really.
The hottest show of the summer. I thought at least they'd get a music nom, but Daisy Jones and the 6 didn't get a music nom.
So they didn't, and none of the original music?
None of the original music got
nominated.
But I know
a lot of people that like stream the music from the show.
I play Aurora so much, it is constantly at the top of my like Spotify. I listen to that album once a week. I don't understand.
Wow.
How it did not get a nomination for any of its songs, like Academy, Wake Up. But again, this just goes back to my theory that Daisy Jones is a real band, and so it wasn't original music, and that is why they didn't get nominated.
I'm gonna go around telling people it's a real band too.
I tell people it's a real band. I bought a Daisy Jones shirt, and when I was in New York, someone was like, is that a band? And I was like, yes, yep. They're real. They're from the 60s.
I thought the 5 Heartbeats was a real group for the longest time.
See?
And I just thought, Robert Townsend, like, quit doing music to be a director.
To be a director. And so I'm telling people Daisy Jones is real, and that's why the music wasn't nominated, because it actually came out in the 60s.
That's hilarious. So it's a period piece, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's a period piece.
I gotta go watch this.
It's good.
So I gotta go watch Daisy Jones, and then what was the other one? Fleischman.
Oh, yes, yes. Fleischman is in Trouble is... It is good. I enjoyed watching it. It is very, like, sad white people in therapy. But
my favorite,
you know, yeah, in a good way.
I'm not trying to watch happy white people.
Right.
I watch It's Always Sunny already. I don't need more.
Yeah, exactly. Which,
oh yeah, I've been watching that too.
Oh yeah. The new season is so good.
I haven't seen the one with Bryan Cranston in it yet. I'm saving that for like a day where I really need like a pick me up.
It was probably my favorite episode of the season
so far.
But like, I just can't believe that the show's been on this long and
it's still funny.
So good. This last episode they did is about the gang like taking over like a fake Chuck E. Cheese, basically.
Yeah. That's hilarious.
And it's, it like also in a way is them addressing like how they approach cancel culture and like how jokes have changed over all this time.
I can't
and
wait.
Gets into it.
I have this like crazy dream that there's that one day there's going to be an episode called The Gang Goes to See Niles Ashton Live. So like, well, I'm about to make some t-shirts.
You can make it happen. Danny's your friend.
That's my friend.
That's the homie, right?
That's the homie.
Get going.
And I know a couple of writers on the show, but okay, that's like the dream. I'm about to start selling a shirt that says that The Gang Goes to See Niles Ashton Live.
So. Like, make it happen.
I got to make it happen.
Oh my God. Thank you so much for joining
Thanks
us.
Thanks for having me.
For breaking down these Emmy nominations for the people, the disappointments, the highs, the lows. Give us the plugs. Where can people find you? Where can they get tickets to your shows?
Yeah, please find me on Twitter at Niles100 and on Instagram at The Niles Ashton Show. And if you are in any of these cities, Baltimore on August 4th, Washington, D.C., August 5th, Philadelphia, August 6th, and New York City, August 11th, I will be there doing stand-up. If you hit me on social media, go to the link in my bio. All the tickets are there.
Yeah.
Please come see
and
me.
I know I got listeners in all those cities, so do it.
Please do.
Get and those tickets.
I haven't released the tickets yet, but I'll be in Portland in September and Vancouver on 9/11.
Oh, never forget.
Yeah. Why not go to Canada? I've never been to Canada before, so I was like, why not 9/11?
Neither have I. That's our way of saying, what's up, Montreal?
Exactly. Yeah, I'm not going to Montreal, so.
Neither am I. So we won't be at Montreal, but we will be doing shows elsewhere.
Yeah, so come see me. I'm pretty good, I'd have to say.
Thank you so much for joining us. For your homework, I'm going to ask you to catch up on Dark Side of the Ring because this new season has been really good and I need you to get into it because I want to talk about it and I'm going to bring some wrestling people on the show, I think, so we can do that. Yeah, I want to do a wrestling episode. I'm telling my producer right now, we're doing a wrestling episode. And after that, I'm going to ask you to watch 10-Year-Old Tom, which is on Max. No one is talking about this amazing season that came out. And also, Righteous Gemstones. Please go watch the new season of Righteous Gemstones, a show that should have been nominated. I don't know what the Academy has against Danny McBride. He made someone angry at some point in time because they do not want to give him awards. But what Righteous Gemstones is accomplishing this season, I want to write about it. I want to talk about it. So we're going to do that. That's your homework. Really quick list today. I mean, come on. You already have enough things that the Academy is making you watch because you haven't heard of them, but they got nominated. I guess I need to watch the last season of The Crown still. Yeah, that's on me. But that's your homework. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back next week with another episode.
DVISA with Ashley Ray. Another episode. Another episode.
TV I Say with Ashley Ray is an Earwolf production made by me, Ashley Ray Harris. It's engineered by Abby Aguilar, produced by Scott Sani, executive produced by Amelia Chapelow, and our original theme song is by Rafia. It means so much to me if you go rate, review, subscribe, follow TV I Say. Let us know what you think and tell your friends. Share with your golden girls. Tell your boys. If you love my TV recommendations, let everyone you know know. For special TV Club members, join my Patreon.
Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at King's Island? The holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The make a splash all summer kind of fun. The I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at King's Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun this season. King's Island is now open weekends.